Title: FX Chain Ordering for Cleaner Results Advanced. Alright, let's talk about one of the biggest pro-sounding shortcuts in drum and bass, FX Chain Ordering. Because in DNB, you're asking a lot of your mix at the same time: loud kick and snare, a break with tons of detail, a sub that needs to be solid, mid-bass that's aggressive, and bright tops that can turn harsh in seconds. So when people say my mix is muddy or it's loud but not clean, a huge part of that is simply, your devices are in the wrong order, and they're reacting to the wrong stuff. In this lesson, you're going to build three practical chains you can reuse constantly: a drum group chain that hits hard without turning brittle, a bass split chain with a disciplined sub and a feral mid that still behaves, and a clean reverb and delay return setup that gives size without washing your groove. And then we'll do a quick master prep approach so you don't end up mixing into panic limiting. Before we touch anything, I want you to lock in one core principle. It's a mindset: control, then color, then space, then level. Or more specifically, first remove obvious rubbish, then control dynamics, then add harmonic character, then due tone and stereo decisions, then add reverb and delay, usually on returns, and finally add safety like gentle clipping or limiting, on purpose. Not every chain needs every stage, but every stage you do use should have a reason for being where it is. And here's an advanced way to think about it. Devices are either detectors or generators. Compressors and gates are detectors. They listen and react. Saturators and distortions are generators. They create harmonics, noise, and density. If your detector is listening to sub-rumble or hiss, it will react in a way that feels messy. And if your generator is being fed full range, it'll happily generate low-end fuzz and top-end grit you didn't ask for. So a lot of clean mixing is simply feeding each device the right input. Let's start with drums. Section 1. Drum group chain. Clean, loud rolling. First, group your drum elements: kick, snare, hats or tops, and your break track. Select them, then group. Command or Control G. Processing the group gives you cohesion, but you still have the option to adjust each track inside when you need to. Now for the suggested order. First device, EQ8 for surgical cleanup. Do a high pass around 20 to 30 Hz. Use a 12 or 24 dB per octave slope. You're not trying to change the vibe. You're removing inaudible nonsense that will trigger compressors and saturators for no benefit. Then listen for boxiness, especially if there's a break. A small dip around 250 to 450 Hz, like 1 to 2 dB. With a moderate Q around 1.2 to 1.8. If the hats or cymbals are harsh, try a very gentle dip around 7 to 10k, maybe 1 dB with a wide Q. Teacher tip: if you're not sure what to cut, don't go hunting for 10 cuts. Find the one thing that's clearly annoying, fix it subtly, and move on. Over-EQ is a fast path to thin drums. Second device, glue compressor for gentle bus glue. Try an attack around 10 milliseconds. Release on auto, or if you want it a little snappier for DNB, use 0.1 to 0.3 seconds. Ratio 2:1. Your goal is not to smash it. Aim for 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction on peaks. And here's the why: you're stabilizing the groove before you hype it. When the groove is stable, the next devices behave more predictably. Optional: enable soft clip on the glue if you want a little extra density and peak control. Soft clip here can be a really tasteful rounded edge on drum transients, but don't let it become your excuse to run everything too hot. Third device, drum bus. This is your punch and weight tool. Start with drive somewhere like 5 to 15%, and keep crunch low, like 0 to 10%. Brakes can get crispy fast. Boom, be careful. If you use it, keep it subtle. 0 to 20% around 50 to 60 Hz. And always check your sub relationship with the bass. Damp is your calm, the top control. And transients, try plus 5 to plus 20 if you need more snap. Why after glue? Because you already stabilized the dynamics, so drum bus isn't reacting wildly to random peaks. It's more consistent, which equals cleaner loudness. Fourth device, saturator. This is for tone and density, not clipping chaos. Try analog clip or soft sign. Drive around 1 to 4 dB. Match the output level. Seriously, level match every time you add saturation, or your brain will pick louder instead of better. Optional soft clip here too, but again, intentional, not accidental. Fifth device, EQ8 again for post-saturation polish. Because saturation changes the spectrum, it literally generates new content. So now you do tiny moves, maybe add half a dB to 1 dB around 100 to 130 if you need warmth, but only if the kick isn't already huge. Or dip a touch around 3 to 5k if the snare starts poking after saturation. This is also where you fix new harshness that didn't exist earlier. That's normal. Don't fight it by undoing your saturation. Just shape it. Sixth device, utility. This is your final sanity check. Turn bass mono on, around 120Hz. Then set gain so your drum group isn't slamming the master too hard. Give yourself headroom to work, and a fun arrangement move. In the last 8 bars, before a drop, automate drum bus drive up slightly, like 2-3%. Then snap it back on the drop. That contrast reads like impact. Now, quick advanced variation. Sometimes order depends on the source. If you're using old funk breaks with messy transients, you might do transient control first, then EQ tidy, then glue, then color. If you're using modern clean one-shots, EQ tidy first, then glue, then tone and drive, and if you enhance transients at all, do it very lightly at the end. Try both orders once, and pick the one that gives punch without making cymbals spit. Next up, bass. The split that keeps your sub huge and your mids aggressive without wrecking the low end. We're going to split into two lanes, sub and mid. You can do it as two separate tracks, which is the cleanest and most obvious. Or inside an instrument rack with two chains. Either works, but two tracks is easier to troubleshoot. Let's build the sub chain first. Sub chain. Keep it boring, keep it huge. First, EQ 8. Low pass around 80 to 120Hz, with a steep slope like 24 dB per octave. The sub's job is fundamentals, not noise. If the kick and sub fight, you can do a small dip where the kick's fundamental lies. Don't overdo it, DNB needs a confident low end. Second, saturator. Very subtle. Drive maybe 0.5 to 2 dB. Soft clip off unless you really know why you want it. The gold is just a little harmonic shadow so the sub reads on smaller speakers, not fuzz. Third, compressor, side chained from the kick. Ratio 4:1. Attack 1 to 5 milliseconds. Release 60 to 120 milliseconds. Tempo dependent. Aim for 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction depending on how tight you want it. And notice the order. The sidechain comes after shaping and subtle saturation, so the compressor read acts consistently. If you change the subtone later, the sidechain behavior stays more stable. Fourth, utility, width to 0%. Mono, set gain so the sub peaks safely. Don't build your whole track around a sub that's already eating your headroom. Now the midchain. This is where you go feral, but with rules. First, EQ 8, pre-distortion filtering. High pass around 120 to 180Hz, steep slope. This is one of the most important clean aggression moves in DNB. If you distort full range bass, you create low-end fuzz that feels like mud, and then you spend hours trying to EQ it out. Just don't generate it in the first place. Also, if there's a nasty resonance before distortion, notch it, because distortion will exaggerate it. If one note explodes and another disappears, that's usually a resonance management problem. Second, your distortion or saturation device. Overdrive is great for mid-bite. Try the frequency control around 700 to 2K, drive 20 to 60%, tone to taste. Or use saturator with higher drive, like 3 to 10 dB, and if you want gnarlier mids, try wave shaper mode. Third, multiband dynamics. This is not a mastering hammer. This is a stabilizer. Set it fast. Tame the high band if your Reese is spitting. Aim for 1 to 3 dB of band gain reduction on the harsh sections. The reason this is so effective, distortion, creates level spikes and new resonant peaks that jump out unevenly across notes. Multiband is like a bouncer that keeps the chaos inside the club. Fourth, EQ 8, post-distortion cleanup. Now you can cut harshness around 2.5 to 5K if needed. Shape presence around 700Hz to 1.5K depending on the character you want. Remember, pre-EQ and post-EQ have different intent. Pre-EQ is broad safety and resonance prevention. Post-EQ can be more surgical because you're fixing artifacts the distortion created. Fifth, utility for width and mono management. You can widen the mids a bit, say 110 to 160%, carefully, and turn on bass mono somewhere around 120 to 150Hz. Even on the mid track, you want the low mid region anchored. And here's an advanced note on stereo tools. Widening before compression can make the compressor react weirdly, because the sides can trigger gain reduction unpredictably. Two solutions. Do width after your main control stage, which is the easiest, or compress in mid-side with a tool that supports it, keeping the mid anchored and the sides controlled. Ableton devices vary here, so the safe default is, stabilize first, widen later. Arrangement idea for bass. Call and response. Every 4 or 8 bars, automate the distortion drive or swap a rack macro so the mid-bass answers itself. You keep the roll engaging without stacking 5 more layers. Now let's do space, reverb and delay on returns, clean and modern. Create 2 return tracks. Return A, room. Return B, dub delay. The reason we prefer returns in DNB is simple. You keep the dry signal punchy, and you control space as a blend. It's cleaner and easier to automate for contrast. Return A, the room chain. First, EQ8 pre-reverb filter. High pass 200 to 400 Hz. Low pass 8 to 12K. The rule, don't feed low end into reverb, ever. It turns into fog. Second, hybrid reverb. Think short room, not long haul. Decay around 0.4 to 1.2 seconds. Pre-delay 10 to 25 milliseconds to keep transients punchy. Size medium. Keep it subtle. You want depth, not weather. Third, compressor on the return. Side-chained from the dry drums group. Ratio 2:1:4:1. Attack 1 to 10 ms. Release 100 to 250 ms. Add 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction when the drums hit. This is the classic ducking trick. The groove stays clean, but the reverb blooms in the gaps. Advanced variation. Try pre-ducking instead of post-ducking. Put the side-chained compressor before the reverb on the return, so the reverb receives less signal on drum hits, and the tail blooms more naturally. It often sounds less like transients smeared by reverb, and more like space behind the drums. Fourth, utility. Set width 120 to 160%, and set gain sensibly. Optional sound design spice. Put corpus after hybrid reverb. Super low mix tuned to the keynote or the fifth. Barely audible. It gives the room an identity without adding volume. Return B, the dub delay chain. First, echo. Try ping pong or midside. Timing. 1/8 dotted or 1/4 are classic DNB choices. Feedback 15 to 35%. Use echo's internal filter. High pass around 300 Hz and low pass around 6 to 9K. This keeps repeats from cluttering. Second, optional saturator, 1 to 3 dB drive for warm repeats. Third, EQ8 post-delay cleanup if it still feels crowded. Fourth, utility. If the delay is too wide and distracting, reduce width. Arrangement tip. Automate sends at phrase ends. Throw the snare fill into echo for the last half bar before the drop. Then kill the send on the first downbeat of the drop. The contrast feels expensive. Now, quick master prep. Not mastering. On your master. Keep it light. Utility for mono checks. This audio version is shortened for playback.